It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye, and ordinarily, as this program goes, I say I'm Randy Dye, and I wait, and we wait for Joe, and we wait for Billy. But tonight, those guys are off. Billy's got a commitment, Joe's got a commitment, so it's just... It's just me here in the studio with just you, all of you that are out there listening to the program, and the phone numbers as they've been reported. We certainly encourage you to call with the thoughts that you have, and look forward to taking your phone calls and talking about the NASCAR Nextel. There I did it again. NASCAR Sprint Cup race, that's certainly getting interesting right off the bat. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover here locally. We've got some interviews lined up, and the local racing scene is really getting interesting this time of year. I think probably a little unusual that it's getting this interesting, but we're excited to bring you some of that stuff. And I think we've got Gene on line one already. Hey, Gene, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm here all by myself, me and Mark.
Oh, you
just,
poor
just
thing.
Mark and I tonight, so.
Yeah. I had to call to make sure I had the right race on yesterday.
Why is that?
It wasn't boring. I didn't fall asleep.
You know, it's that I got to tell you, New Hampshire is not one of my favorite racetracks typically. In fact, I think it can get very boring, but it was anything but yesterday.
I know.
Very exciting.
And I was so happy for Kyle.
Wow, if you say that for Halloween, it'd work really good there, Gene.
Yeah, I know.
I think the thing that you look at there with Kyle Busch is he's had a really great year, not only in the number of times that he's won, of course, but also he's had incredibly good fortune. And then they get into the chase, and all that good fortune caught up with him in the first race in the chase. The question that I think will that really remains to be answered, that you can't take anything away from him, what's happened in the first 26 races. You won eight times, and do it convincingly in many cases. You cannot challenge what's taken place in the 26 races
up
to this point. However, when given only 10 races to sew it up, and the adversity that takes place, and the things that they've just experienced. I mean, you know, breaking a Heim joint on the sway bar is really just...
Disaster.
Well, it's really unusual. You got to remember all these parts that these guys put on these cars. Every single race are brand new. They're not used parts. They're not in there recycling parts. So this was an unusual event, and there's nothing that anybody could do. You heard all the speculation yesterday in the race. Did somebody tighten it up? Did somebody leave a bolt loose?
Did
that stuff until they finally figured out that the Heim joint actually broke.
Yeah.
You know, how do you? The question is there a level of maturity that with Kyle Busch to get over it? And I'm going to tell you, I don't think so yet. I think that Kyle Busch thinks he can win no matter what he's driving, no matter who's preparing it, and that's not the kind of position you need right now.
I think right now he's a little bit cocky because he is still on the top and everything. So
he's not exactly on the top. I mean, he went from first to ninth.
Yeah, but I mean, he still thinks he can do it.
Well, I think it's good that he thinks he can do it. But I think if he thinks he can do it alone, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what I am afraid about for Kyle Busch. Already, we've talked about it for a couple of years. I'm not a great Kyle Busch fan, but I am an admirer of his talent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like I don't like that idiot that drives a 24, but he's a decent driver. I just don't care the way he drives his car on occasions.
Well,
what comes out of his mouth.
He was one of three guys who were in the top 12 in points who did not finish in the top 12. He, Matt Kenseth, and Kyle Busch, you know, none of those guys made their way into the top 12.
Is Matt all right? Have you heard? Is Matt all right?
Oh, he's fine.
I mean, that was quite a hit.
No, he's absolutely fine. Just and actually, pretty positive about how he feels about the chase. He thinks, well, this is my one mulligan, and I got to run 9 more really good races.
Yeah.
And we got to take one at a time, and by no means are we out of it. Although he's 177 points behind.
Yeah.
So he certainly can't afford any bad finishes from here.
No more. He's had his one.
That's right. He's had his one.
And what have you heard about the nice little altercation with Todd Bodine and David Starr on Saturday?
I haven't heard anything, but anytime there's an altercation, with, you know, if Todd Bodine's on a racetrack, there's a chance for an altercation. So I haven't heard anything about it.
I didn't know there was even one until I had picked up the truck race today.
No, I didn't. I don't know anything about what took place there, but if it's Todd Bodine in an altercation, that's like a...
Well, David Starr helps him into the wall, so I did.
Well, I mean, you know, there's many different people out there who probably have a pretty good reason to put Todd Bodine in the wall. So, you know, he's a hard-nosed racer, and hard-nosed racers... every once in a while, get theirs. They usually give more out than they get, but every once in a while, they get theirs.
Yeah.
So, okay, we got 9 races to go. Your guy really had essentially a no change. He went into the points, into the chase fourth, and he's still fourth.
Yeah.
So you got to feel pretty good about his chances. He's only 50 points behind.
That's what he said today was, too.
Okay, so how do you feel? You got a chance to win.
Oh, God, yeah, because he's pretty consistent. He stays a lot in the top 10, and doing top 10s is going to be a big help, too.
Well,
not just...
If his car hadn't gotten loose, I think he would have won the race, but it got loose at the end and got really nasty loose. And I think that was a big deal. So, you know, I still like his chances. I think he's been quietly strong.
Sneaking up on everybody.
Yeah, all year long. And
yeah.
He had a good, solid finish. Nothing spectacular. Had, I think, at one point a better car than what they got out of it. But at the end, I think he had a worse car than he got a finish. So I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't have a complaint about his driving at all this year. He's doing real good.
You still like his chances.
I like to see the championship. Get the championship just because of who he is, plus you know what.
Well, I don't think it'd be anything better for the sport than to see him win. But I also think it's pretty good for Greg Biffle to.
I was glad to see Biffle win. Yes, there's no question. I can't say anything against that either.
Hey, Gene, can I ask you to just listen and give us a call back in a little bit? I've got a interview that we've got to do and look forward to doing. So if you'll listen and give us a call back, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, okay, no problem.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, I think on the line we've got Daniel Keene Jr. Daniel is the most recent winner of the 100-lap Fast Car Late Model Challenge Series at New Smyrna this past weekend, and furthermore, a 5-time winner this year on the Fast Car Late Model Challenge Series. Daniel, welcome to the program. Are you there? Hello. Daniel. Well, I don't hear him. Maybe we need to try it again. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're going to try to get Daniel Keene back on the line. And Daniel, you there?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. All right, good. Well, just a little technical difficulty there for a minute. Well, I hope you heard the introduction. Winner of the race this past weekend, 5-time winner of the Fast Car Late Model Challenge Series this year. We certainly welcome you, and thanks for taking time out to talk with us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys giving me the chance to talk with you all.
You know, I was watching you actually about 2 weeks ago. I think we were at the racetrack at the same time together practicing, and your car at that particular night, that Thursday night, I believe it was, wasn't as good as what it was this past Saturday night. I don't know what you did between that Thursday and this past Saturday, but it was a significant difference.
Actually, the car, you know, the car was still pretty decent on that night. You know, it's just the whole thing of going there, testing, and, you know, just feeling the car out, and then going there on race day, and, you know, it's a whole other ballpark.
Well, you know what, I noticed one of the things that I'm impressed with, and, of course, you know, I've just started back after 4 years of being absent from the racetrack in terms of competition. Obviously, the racetrack's different. It's new. The asphalt's new. For me, that's a huge difference. For you, this past Saturday night was the first time you've run an extended race on Hoosier tires. What was remarkable to me, I'd say it probably was about 95 or 96 degrees when you qualified Saturday afternoon, early evening. The asphalt was probably about 115 or 120, I'd guess. No telling what the temperature was in the race car. And to go 18.018, is that correct?
18.048, I believe.
Okay, all right, so we're splitting hairs. 18.048. you know, those times a few years ago, those were super late model times.
Yeah, exactly. They were, you know, but since they put the new asphalt down that track, it's really brought the speed up dramatically. I think that we have went faster than that down there whenever they first paved the track. But definitely this was the best one we've had since they've, as far as racing, that we've had since they have repaved the track. Just, you know, the track's a lot tighter, and for some reason that track is been the hardest for me to get the first win on, but we finally got it done.
So this was your first win at New Smyrna?
Yes, sure was.
Well, you did it in fine fashion. I didn't know that it was your first win. Congratulations on that count as well. The thing that I noticed about your race car was just how solid it seemed to be. I watched you all night, but it seemed to be almost as good at the end of the race as it was at the beginning of the race. You really didn't seem like you had to change your line too much. You didn't seem to look like you were struggling in or out of the corner or in the center of the corner. Maybe at the end, maybe the last, I don't know, 8-10 laps, maybe got a little wee bit loose, but, you know, could be, I don't know if it was the tires, if it was a combination of the tire and the debris. I mean, there was a lot of accidents, a lot of liquid had been put down on the racetrack, a lot of speedy dry at several different points during the race. So maybe you picked up a little wee bit of loose condition there at the end, and maybe not, but that's what I saw. But all in all, pretty consistent race car from the beginning of the race to the end of the race.
Yeah, it stayed real stable the whole race. You know, I mean, there at the end, I mean, we expect it, though, 100 laps on tires. You know, the cars definitely slow down a little bit and definitely free up the majority of time. But, you know, I mean, I like the tire. There was a little issue we had with the right rear, but, hey, we made it through the race, and we're looking to improve that for the next time. You know, we are actually talking to the Hoosier guys to see what they recommend as far as maybe a different right side tire.
Make it a little harder?
Yeah, exactly, just because we did have some little bit of blistering on the right rear, and, you know, it could be a bad thing, definitely, you know, at New Smyrna.
Well, New Smyrna is a super fast racetrack, and honestly, now with Lakeland being gone, it's probably the fastest racetrack that the Goodyear. The Fast Car Late Model Challenge Series will race on all year long, isn't that right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, 18-second laps are pretty incredible. You know, take us through the race a little bit. You know, one of the things I know as having raced in that series over the years is. Many times, there's some great race cars, but many times a big field ends up being a small field at the end because there are, I don't know, there's some driving techniques and some driving moments, almost emotional moments that take place during the race that kind of lead to some bad events. You happen to be out of the way of all of that all night long.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing about qualifying good. You know, that's another thing about the inversion, that it could hurt you, but in this case it did not. You know, we set fast time, we drew the five for the inversion, so we obviously started fifth. Turned out to be good, but still, even starting there, you know, you definitely got to keep your nose clean for the first 10, 15 laps. You know, for one, air pressures are down, so everybody's kind of, you know, having to tiptoe a little more, but some people don't do that and don't realize it.
Right.
But, I mean, there was quite a few of the faster cars that started up front that definitely had problems early in the race and really shouldn't have been that way. It's just a matter of, you know, people doing a little bit of bumping and heads getting heated up and all, and that's kind of stuff that happens.
I know I saw the 46 go in way too hard a couple times, well, for a couple laps, and then at one point the lap I think you got underneath him, he just was way in over his head. Did a great job, actually, of holding the car together underneath him, but you got by him and then I guess, I don't know what happened from there, but it never was the same after that. It looked to me like his car must just got tighter and tighter and tighter, and to the point where he couldn't go anywhere with it. But, you know, by no means was it easy. You know, I guess what I'd say is you made the win look easy, even though it may be, I'm sure that it was not easy.
Well, like I said, I mean, we had an excellent car, and you know, with the preparation and maintenance that we have on this race car, it definitely helped come race time. You know, and obviously it shows, but, yeah, I mean, the deal with, you know, Doug Maffei just come back and after winning the championship last year and he qualified fifth, you know, obviously he got started on the pole with the inversion. And, I think he was a little bit upset with us, thinking that, I don't know, he seems to think that, you know, we pressured him a little bit going into one a little too hard. It was even up against him, and that was not the case whatsoever.
No, I didn't. I watched that. You never touched him. It looked to me like maybe he was feeling the pressure. It's just because your car was faster than his.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that he was and definitely in his rear mirror, and because we were actually going to try to roll to the outside of him on that lap.
Well, there wasn't any place to go outside. You'd have been up against the wall, that's for sure.
Well, the first few times I was trying to get underneath of him, you know, he'd push up, so I knew I couldn't go to the outside at that point. But then after the second time that I drove underneath of him, the next two laps he was parking it real bad in the middle of the corner, keeping it on the bottom.
Yeah.
So that's what gave me the idea that maybe I can go ahead and roll around him on the outside, which obviously that's when he got way high out there in one and two, and we were able to get underneath him.
Well, you know, there's one thing about pressuring somebody, another thing about rubbing somebody, and I never saw you get into him. So I think the pressure was probably that he was driving a car harder than the car could be driven, and you know, I mean, he certainly tried, but I didn't see anything there that I would call. I wouldn't even classify it as a racing incident. It just was that he was trying real hard, and the car wouldn't do what he wanted it to do, and you took advantage of the situation and got ahead of him. That's the way I saw it, anyway.
Yeah, and it's definitely aggravating. I mean, if it's the other way around, obviously, you know, we're all there to win the race, and you know, it was aggravating from the time, but I bet if we were to talk to him now, he would probably agree with, you know, definitely just didn't have the car to hold me off for sure 100 laps.
Well, and, you know, I noticed the other thing, the other car that was really good Saturday night was the number 9, Rich Clouser. And I would think, this is my own experience racing with Rich Clouser and actually racing with his owner prior to Rich, Bobby Sears. You know, Rich is a good race car driver and has a good car, but it's got to give you a little confidence to know that a guy like him is behind you, because unless he can pass you clean, he ain't going to pass you.
Yeah, that's for sure. We've raced, you know, against Rich for the past 2.5 years or so, and he's definitely a very clean driver and definitely would not stick his nose there if it's not available. And he knows that that would be the same way back to him, and that's why I think that me and him's always had a good relationship as far as racing.
Well, Daniel, you come from, I mean, you're not the first Daniel Keene to do well racing. Your father is a great race car driver. Tell us, I mean, it's just automatic. I mean, he's a great race car driver, and it's just something you wanted to do, and does he help you, or are you doing your own thing?
This is definitely something that I always wanted to do. You know, didn't get the opportunity as young as what I wanted to. You know, I actually did not get into a late model race car until I was probably 26 years old. You know, he gave me the opportunity as far as that by helping me out getting the first car and all that. But you know, like I said, it's definitely something I always want to do. Wish I could have got into it younger, although I think we've, for as many races we've got under our belt for the past 6 or 7 years, we've definitely came a long way the last two and a half years. But that's, you know, that comes with a lot of good help and good maintenance on the car.
Well, I talked to your crew chief today, Jared, and he sounded like, I mean, obviously you guys are both stoked. He was really fired up about the win and the season. And it sounds like there's a pretty strict program of making sure the equipment's good and it's up to date, fresh, and you go through the car. And, you know, I know that, you know, there's not a whole lot that can make up for good preparation. You know, obviously you need a good driver, and you certainly fit that bill. But you got to have a good race car. You have to have a good piece to drive to be able to pull off a win. I mean, yeah, there was 21 good race cars there Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And the majority of racetracks we go to, there's definitely quite a few cars that show up and can win at any given point. But we have definitely had a great year, and looking to finish off the year the same way. You know, I mean, there's I don't know. It's just incredible as far as the year, how it's went for us. I mean, just seven races, five wins, and worst finish is a sixth, and the other one is a second place finish. So it's been great.
So you got them covered right now on the points, and I know there's still several to go, but definitely got a commanding lead there. What's beyond the fast car, late model challenge series? Outside of that, or maybe not, what do you got on your agenda? What do you want to do with racing for as long as you choose to do it? What's next?
I mean, you know, without a doubt, I would love to go as far as anybody would possibly take me. We actually ran, you know, we have ran two of the ASA Southeast Tour races this year. One at Lakeland, we qualified seventh, finished fourth. And then one also at Bronson, we qualified first and finished second. And there's a few more of those races, you know, here the last few months of the year that was to, you know, go with our car and run a few more of those. It's just a matter of, you know, getting a little more help. I mean, times are tough right now, and you know, everybody's kind of holding on to what they have, and, you know, so that's the thing. If we had any more help, we'd go run, you know, every weekend if possible. It's just a matter of getting the help to go.
Well, speaking of help, who does help you? What kind of sponsors do you have, so tell us a little bit about that, but then make sure you tell us how to get a hold of you to sponsor, you know, if a sponsor was interested in running with a guy that runs up front all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as of right now, I got, you know, our family-owned business who's, you know, like I say, it's definitely hasn't been able to give near as much this year as it has in the previous years, which is Keene Brothers Incorporated. We've got General Equipment Sales and Service. They're actually dedicated to the car that we're running for the, you know, the remainder two races to purchase tires for us. Masonry Builders, who is out of Tampa, Florida also, they're helping us out this year. And then also Ocean Potions gave a little help this year, and hopefully things will work out to where we can do a little more with them next year.
And if somebody wanted to join that group and get involved with a winner, how do they get a hold of you?
They can just contact me directly on my cell phone, which is at 813-267-6416. That would definitely be the best way of getting a hold of me, and would love to hear from anyone that was interested in helping out.
Well, Daniel, we appreciate your time, and I certainly, as a racer, really enjoyed watching you put it on everybody Saturday night. And if we get out there to run with you, just remember the number 43 and be nice to me, okay? I'm just getting back in the groove there, buddy, okay? So I look forward to being able to do that sometime.
Sounds good, and I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Daniel Keene, Jr. He was the Florida, the Fast Car Late Model 100 lap winner here this past Saturday night. Five out of seven races so far this year. You heard him talking about the people that help him, and if you have any interest in getting involved with the winner, you know, he said he's got some help getting some tires. So it doesn't take a lot to help. Any help is appreciated. give him a call. You would. He's a nice young man, too. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of guys out there that can drive race cars, but this guy can drive a race car, and he's a nice guy, and he appreciates people, and he's courteous and respectful, and he won't embarrass any sponsors. So look forward to maybe you can get some folks to get involved. We've got a caller on line one. I think you said this is Joe. Hey, Joe?
Hey, Randy. How you doing?
Good. This is Joe Lewandowski. He is the promoter of the Orlando Speed World, New Smyrna Speedway, and all of about, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, just trying to get getting used to everything down here. And you know, like I said, Randy, I'm truly not the promoter at both racetracks.
Oh.
I'm basically more of the marketing manager. And I think that's going to be a bigger job than being the promoter, because I really think I could help the program. And, you know, there's great people in place. You got Rusty, who does a fantastic job down at Speed World, and Kim's handling all the administration at both tracks.
And does a great job, by the way.
Kim does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, Butch Pierce, who does a great job as a competition director. So I think I really believe I could help the team. And big thing my job is going to be is go out there and hopefully put more butts in the seats. I promised Butch I would help him to try to increase the car count.
I'm going to help you with that one.
And I think the big thing, too, is we got to get more new sponsors out there. But I was very impressed also with Danny Keene Jr. and the second-generation driver. And Randy, I remember as a race fan back 20 years ago, going to New Smyrna Speedway and watching the five with Danny Keene Sr.
Yeah.
driving and winning all the time when he was racing against Leroy Porter and Gary Ballou and Dickie Anderson. You know, those were the good old days. But, you know, now you think about the second generation when you got Wayne Anderson, Danny Keene Jr., and, well, also, you know, Tim Russell, his daddy, David Russell, was a great race car driver, too.
Well, yeah, the apples don't fall far from the tree in some of these guys. But I'll tell you what, Daniel Keene Sr., very aggressive, very tough competitor, fought on every lap. I never saw him give up a position. He fought you for every inch of the racetrack. I mean, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form dirty. I just mean he was tough to pass, and tough when he was behind you. I mean, he was moving to the front, and he would take it. I would say if there was ever any glimmer that it was there, he was going to get it.
It would be really nice to have him get some sponsorship on Danny Keene Jr. and be racing out there with the super late models, because there's no doubt about it. He's talented enough to get behind the wheel of the car, but like I said, the price tag goes up so much more when you go from that late model class to that super late model class. There's no doubt about it. That young man has a talent, and I'm sure with his winning streak this year, hopefully he's going to catch the eye of a car owner and somebody's going to give him a shot.
Yeah, I think he's got some stuff working. He didn't want to talk too much about that, and that's okay. But I would love to see some folks get behind him, because, you know, he's a good guy. He speaks well. You heard the interview. He did a really good job. He's articulate. You know, he understands the value of sponsorship. He understands the value of a good race car. And guys like that, I really would love to see get the
win. That whole team, they're really nice people, because my first time I was in the pit area when I first got down here working, my son Gregory, who's 10 years old, he went right over to that operation, and he was sitting there talking with him, and, you know, it was just like here's this young boy, 10 years old, didn't know him, and before you know it, he's there talking to him for about an hour, and I said, what are you doing down here? Oh, those are my buddies.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they're good people.
He made buddies with my son right away, too.
my son, everybody's his buddy, man.
He was looking for, my boy was looking for your son Saturday night, by the way.
That's great.
Tell us what's going on in New Smyrna Speedway
this weekend
and next weekend.
We got the Bright House Challenge coming up this Saturday night. And for all the fans that came to this past weekend's race, the Fast Car Late Model Challenge race, all the fans, you bring your ticket back and you get to bring, it's basically your ticket's good for a 2-for-1. So it's a great opportunity to bring your neighbor, your buddy, your uncle, your dad, or anybody to the track, because basically you're going to get two tickets for the price of one, which will be two tickets for $15. So it's a great opportunity to come.
And that's the thing, too, that everybody needs to understand. This is the super late models. While, you know, Daniel Keene Jr. qualified 18.048, I think that was the right number. And so the super late models will go about, I suspect you'll see 4 to 5 tenths quicker, maybe even a little more than that, with the super late models, whether, you know, if the weather's similar. So there's some super fast race cars, and always a good field. I'm sure you'll see David Rogers will be there, I would suspect. And, you know, they put on a good, I would think we'd see B.J. McLeod, probably Tim Russell.
Yeah, I was looking at the point standings of the Brite House Challenge Series, and Tim Russell has a pretty good lead over Jeremy Colangelo and Dustin Skinner, and B.J.'s right there, and Patrick Conrad and Brian Finney, they're all fighting for that, you know, the 2, 3, 4, 5 spot, but Tim Russell right now has got a pretty commanding lead. He's up by 40 points. He's at 116 points, and the next closest is Jeremy and Dustin at 76, and then you got B.J. and Patrick at 68 apiece, and then Brian Finney down there at 44. And then, like I said, I'm hoping to see my good buddy Wayne Anderson. I hope he comes back some races with us. And
I was just getting ready to say that. You know, you never know. He's just liable to show up. But when he comes to when he comes to town, anything can happen.
I understand the last big Sunbelt race, but it was the Clyde Hart Memorial race. I guess he came in driving his dad's car, and he dusted the field.
Oh, he dusted him bad. Yeah, I was there. He definitely did.
When you really think about it, that's a pretty lethal combination when you get Dickie Anderson, you know, crewing the car and Wayne driving the car. And there is a ton of experience between those two guys.
You bet there is. No
I question still, I tell you what, I would still pay $100 to watch those two guys have a 5,000 winner-take-all race for 50
race.
Laps.
Yeah, those two guys wouldn't give an inch to either one.
Because I don't think either car would have any wheels or tires on it, or fenders.
You know, we used to do some of that match racing stuff. That was a lot of fun back in the day.
You know, it scares me now if you do that, and, you know, some guy takes the other guy out, and then, you know, they even get to race the big race.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but it was not an unusual event, that's for sure.
They do that up at the dirt car races up in the Erie, Pennsylvania area. They do the...
that's where I'm, you know, you remember that's where I'm from up there.
They do the match races, and it's kind of cool, and they go out there and do a five-lap match race, and they call it the King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And it was always sponsored, like, by Budweiser up there. It was called the Budweiser King of the Hill, and they'd go out there for five laps and have a little fun during intermission.
Okay, well, we know we got the Brite House Challenge super late model race this week, but the next week on the 27th of September, you got another big event.
Yeah, we got the Crane Cams ASA night at the races. We got the ASA late model series, and for the fans, there's actually two ASA organizations. There's the ASA Ron Varney organization, which is out of Michigan, which is exclusively Crate Engines. Then you also have the other ASA program that Dennis Huth has out of Daytona Beach when they bought the company from the original company out of Indianapolis. But Ron Varney's organization, the ASA program, will probably have anywhere from 20 to 30 good late model cars, and they'll be all Crate Engine cars. So, you know, it's a great month for anybody that's an asphalt late model fan. It's been a great month because you saw the fast car late models last Saturday night. This Saturday you got the super late models with the Brite House 50, and then you're going to come back next week with the Florida 100, which is the ASA type of late model. So you're going to see three different types of asphalt late models that you'll see the same late models type of cars during the World Series. I call it the Speed Weeks, but it's the World Series.
World Series, right, yeah.
So that'll be a really exciting race, and these guys raced this past Saturday night up at South Georgia Motorsports Park, and Butch's son raced in the event, and I think he finished eighth in the event. So I think they had about 20 cars added in South Georgia, and I really believe we're going to have more cars because there is a lot of ASA cars that are from Florida.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right.
And then we'll have our local cars. We'll have the trucks, the super stocks, and the strictly stocks race with the program. So it'll be a good night of racing on September 27th at New Smyrna Beach Speedway.
I know that this coming Saturday with the Brite House Challenge, the pit gates are going to open up at 2, the grandstand gates are going to open up at 6, and as you said, it's a $15 ticket, but if you bring your ticket from last week, it's essentially 2-for-1, so you're going to get in for $7.50. Tough to beat that for entertainment.
No, it's a great entertainment value, and one of the things, one of my goals between now and the end of the year is try to do some fan surveys, and you know, I don't have any problem if some fan wants to call me up and give me some ideas, you know, something maybe in the past that worked really well. I know Terry had a lot of good promotions, and one of the things I'm trying to work on right now is a 2009 marketing plan, and one of my big ideas is trying to kind of copy minor league baseball and do more theme nights where, you know, like around the Easter time, we'll do an Easter egg hunt night. You know, we'll continue to do the Mother's Day promotions. We'll do the Home Depot, what is it, Father's Day promotions.
Right.
We got veterans. You know, I want to get with the school kids. And I know you have a great program that you do with Bright House. And, you know, those are the kind of things where we got to get more, we got to get the families more involved at New Smyrna Speedway.
Well, and it's, you know, I think what folks don't realize is just how good a time it is. And you know, and it's also inexpensive. By the time you figure it out, you can take your family to the racetrack cheaper than you can take them to the movie.
Oh, yeah. I went Friday night to the movies, and I could not believe it. They had this special. It was a it looked like a large soda and
large
popcorn.
Yeah.
And I said to the lady, I said, how much is that? Oh, $11.50.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I bet their hard cost in that thing was not even a dollar, and they charged $11.50. I think it was $9 for me to get in. My son was $7.
Yeah, it's just,
so I mean, we have that, you know, 11 and under free, which really helps out. You know, especially you know, what a great family opportunity next week is when you really think about it, Randy. Because you know, if mom and dad do the 2-for-1, so now you're at $7.50 a piece for the mom and dad, and then the kids are free. So you're talking, for you know, a family of four could literally get into the speedway for $15.
Pretty tough to beat.
Can't beat that for some great entertainment and watch super late models.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. The phone number at the New Smyrna Speedway is 427-4129. You want to tell Joe something about, give him some ideas, and just have an open, honest, objective discussion with him. Call him, and I guarantee you he'll take your call.
We might even give a couple free tickets out to some of those people who call in.
Wow, what a great idea.
You know, like I said, you know, we need to hear from our customers. I want to know what they like, what they don't like. Because, I mean, we're not saying we can improve everything. We can't fix everything, but we're going to sure try and listen and try to fix a few of the things. And I think the greatest example, you know, fans talking over the years, look at Robert went and invested in a beautiful all-aluminum grandstand.
Yes, sir.
Our bathrooms, brand spanking new, shiny tile.
Yep.
The tile's absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful bathroom. You know, Robert's doing a lot to fix the place up. I mean, a lot of people haven't probably noticed, but, you know, we have all the lights.
Ready to go.
Ready to go from Lakeland. We have all the catch fence ready to go from Lakeland.
Right.
So, and the asphalt job, it's been paved. So you think about it, once Robert gets the lights put up, gets a new catch fence put up with the grandstand, with the bathrooms, with the new pavement, that is, there's no doubt about it, we are the premier short track in the state of Florida.
Well, you know, I'll say this. I used to say all the time, I love to go down to Lakeland and race the USA International Speedway, and I did, no question about it. I thought it was just a phenomenal place to go, and I loved racing there. You know, we always did well there. But after being gone for 4 years and just coming back the other night, as far as you know, being treated well and the way the facility, the racetrack itself was just remarkable. I mean, what a huge difference, you know, to be able to drive on. No bumps, and I mean, you got a little dip down there in turn three, but it's not like the one that used to be that when you hit it, you throw you up, you know, two grooves out from where you started. You know, it's really just a pleasure to be there, and I had such a good time, I can't even tell you. And I look forward
to it. Hey, Randy, let me ask you this. You're a competitor. Do you think because of the asphalt starting to cure, you're seeing more passing than when it was brand new 2 years ago?
Well, there's no question that there's two grooves on the racetrack. You know, I can tell you that, and when a guy that's been out of it as long as I have can go back there and feel that, there's no question. I think that that racetrack is only going to get better and better. I've watched several guys go around the outside and pass, guys that never would have thought about going around the outside before. You know, it really, and could do it. You can do it side by side. The racetrack's so good, the cool thing is you can run too wide on that racetrack all the way around it for several laps and not give anything up. So
well, I was amazed when I came down, when I talked to Robert for the job, when I came down August 16th, I saw three trucks come out of going to turns 3 and 4, three wide.
Yeah, did
never
too.
Touched.
Yeah.
And they went right through the turn, and then they sorted each other out going down the straightaway. But they literally went through turns 3 and 4, three wide, and came out and really didn't touch.
Well, and the reason you can do that is because the racetrack is so consistent and it's got such a good grip that you really aren't, you're not gonna hit a bump and get knocked off your line. None of that stuff is happening. You can go in there and drive the car where you drive it, and it's going to stay there. And that's a real confidence booster for a race car driver, I can tell you that. And when you build confidence, that gives the race car driver, he can be more racy. If he feels confident, he'll be racier, and as a result, you'll see more passing, and instead of just follow the leader stuff. So, and I think that's all good for the racetrack.
What are you hearing from the competitors? You think everybody's liking these Hoosier tires?
I don't think anybody dislikes them. I know that there's a little wee bit of maybe blistering going on there at the end of the race the other night. That the right rear tire got a little bit worn, and so I think what you'll have to do is watch the super late models and see how they use up that right rear tire. That'll be the real test, because the racetrack is so grippy, the tire is soft. It's got a real soft sidewall. And so really, really grippy, but maybe just a touch soft. But you'll see, I mean, as far as it feeling good on the race car, it feels good, real good.
Well, one of the things, Randy, I'm hoping that we get Daytona Dodge back at the racetrack. And one of the things I know that Robert instructed
you are the marketing
to,
director.
To talk
you're not
to you
the
about is hopefully we can get the that night that we did back in January for years in the past about getting some of the cup drivers and doing a big promotion for a charity.
It was a lot of fun. We always did, it was a lot of work, but always at the end of it, when it was all done, every time I have to tell you, I'd say it was all worth it. So we'll work on that together.
And I think that's something that the fans will definitely enjoy.
I get calls about that, Joe. There's never been a year since we haven't done it that I haven't had several calls about, are you going to do it again? And I've always said, when we get the right circumstances back together, we'll do it again. So you got my commitment. We'll work on that.
Well, I'm excited about working with you, Randy.
Okay, Joe.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks.
Appreciate your time.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for calling us. That's Joe Lewandowski, and he set me straight. He is the marketing director, not the promoter. And I guess maybe the next time we talk, I'll have to get that hairline difference of a definition between the marketing director and the promoter. But in any event, folks, we're going to take a quick break. The phone numbers before we go, 239-0033, 800-927-0033, star 1150 on your AT&T wireless cell phone. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Heating and cooling companies throughout Florida. And today, we're featuring best value AC and heating from Maytag. Agnes is on the line from Ormond Beach.
Hey, I've been putting off replacing my AC system, but I think the clock is ticking here.
Actually, your timing may be just right if you get a Maytag system from Best Value Air Conditioning and Heating. You may qualify for our 0-0-0 financing offer.
Yes, I definitely need to finance it.
You can get 0% down, 0% interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. Just call the dealer for details.
I've always been happy with Maytag's products, and this dealer is good.
Best Value has 25 years in the business. They're licensed and insured, but don't wait too long. This offer from Maytag is for a limited time only. Call 677-6055.
Hey, I'm on it. Thanks for taking my call.
You've been listening to the Home Radio Network with Best Value AC and Heating. Call Best Value for all the answers.
Visit us on our website at bestvalueac.com.
Make a stop at Legacy Gator Golf this month. Right now at Legacy Gator Golf, the largest golf center in the area, Barry is taking 10% off all ladies and men's shirts, pants, and shorts. Take 10% off golf bags, except Ping and Bag Boy. Legacy Gator Golf has all the best names in the industry. Ping, Galloway, Mizuno, TaylorMade, Cleveland, Cobra, Adams, Titleist, and Legacy Gator Golf will match any legitimate discount house price. price. You can't beat that. And for special occasions, a gift certificate's the perfect solution. Regripping and repairs by the experts. Stop by or call 672-8409. That's 672-8409 for Legacy Gator Golf. 1453 North U.S. Highway 1, Ormond Beach. Legacy Gator Golf.
If you're planning to finance a car, home, college education, or any other major purchase the way most people do, by using a bank, dealer financing, or putting it on a credit card, I have one word of advice for you. Stop! You see, you could actually be putting these interest charges into your own pocket and using them to create personal wealth and a tax-free income for life. This proven strategy is called Bank on Yourself and has existed for more than 100 years. Get ready to write down an important web address where, for a limited time, you can get the details in a free special report that also reveals how you can use this strategy to get back the entire purchase price of your cars and other big-ticket items.
Simply visit findoutmorenow.com and enter the four-digit passcode 2233. Again, that's findoutmorenow.com, and the passcode is 2233. Remember, this is a limited-time free offer.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside tonight. I'm Randy Dye, and Joe and Billy are off tonight, so Mark and I are kind of doing this thing just by ourselves. And obviously, we've had some folks we could talk to, and we encourage you again to give us a call. And we'll certainly talk to you about what your thoughts are about racing. Just kind of want to wind up the New Smyrna events over the weekend. But before I talk specifically about the race, the big fast car late model challenge race, Joe made some comments about New Smyrna and the facility, and kind of passed over quickly the price of admission out there. You know, I'm not kidding. If you've never been to a race, or you're looking for some entertainment, and the best and most efficient way to spend your entertainment dollar, and I know that it's tough these days. There's not a lot of extra money to go and do things. But if you've got children that are under the age 11 or under, they're free admission at New Smyrna Speedway. There's a playground there. This weekend, they've got the two-for-one, essentially a ticket from last week gets two people in for $15. The food is reasonably priced. It's of high quality. You're going to see a lot of racing. Generally, there's some other event going on, something that keeps your interest. It's really a nice way to spend a weekend, and truly it is less money. And I'm not anti-movies. I like going to the movies, too. But it's truly less money than taking your family to a movie, or for that matter, well, I guess it's probably not less than renting one at home, but it's definitely a relatively inexpensive entertainment dollar. And I know there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of places to go. This one, I think you'd have a good time. The restroom facilities are brand new; they're kept clean. The food is fresh; it's good. The entertainment is good, and it's a family environment. You know, you don't have to. You're not going to be embarrassed, or you're not going to be intimidated by bad behavior. They don't tolerate it, but you can still have a good time. Hoot and holler for somebody. Get behind a car to root for. There's different divisions. I guess I'd have to think about it, but they have super late models at New Smyrna Speedway. That's the fastest late model car in existence. The late models, which are not far behind, just a little variation in some engine rules and suspension. The Florida Modified, it's the wildest looking, craziest constructed race car I think I've ever seen. Build as big a motor as you want, put it on small tires, don't give it any brakes, make it as light as possible, and say go fast. It's kind of a contradiction of physics as far as I'm concerned, but they are fast and they are a lot of fun to watch. Some of the best racing out there, the Super Stocks, one of the best classes in terms of car counts, and really do a great show. Sportsman The Florida Pro Truck Series are out there. The mini stocks, and then ultimately the Strictly stocks. And never, don't ever leave early, because the program is always fun, and the Strictly Stock guys somehow manage to always run at the end, but they're some of the most fun to watch. It's a great value, a great clean place. It's not far away. It's at the corner of Highway 415 and Highway 44. If you need other information, you can go to www.fastcar.org. Or the phone number is 386-427-4129. I think I've done my part for Newsom on Speedway tonight. What do you think, Mark? With that, we were at the beginning of the program. We were talking about we were talking about NASCAR and, you know, really what a turn of events. Here you've got Greg Biffle wins the first race he's won in 33 races. Can't say he's not been a factor in the points deal all year long, but hasn't been a major factor. He's kind of been sniffing around it and been there, but really no aggressive move or aggressive action. And shows up, wins the first race in the chase, and moves his position up to the third place. And Biffle is a guy that when the momentum gets going, he's pretty tough to beat, and so I certainly would not want to count him out. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he really contends this thing the rest of the way. You know, Carl Edwards now, you know, goes in behind Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. He's now leading. He's leading by virtue of the number wins he has versus Jimmy Johnson. And I'm going to stop right there because I think we've got a really special guest and a person who's very unique in our sport today. I believe this is Jessica Murphy. Jessica, is that you? Hello, Jessica. Here we go again. What are we doing, Mark? Jessica.
Yeah.
There we go. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I want to tell everybody, just bear with me for a little bit. This is Jessica Murphy. She is 17 years old, and she is, without question, a female, and a feminine female at that, a sleight of frame, I hate to call you fragile, Jessica, because you don't drive a race car like you're fragile, but she's a young lady, and this year, going into this race this past weekend, the top rookie in the Fast Car Late Model Challenge Series, third in points overall. Am I right so far?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Really, in a very short time, an amazingly accomplished race car driver. So welcome and thanks for joining us on the program tonight.
Thank you.
Jessica, I saw, I've seen your race. You know, I've been out of it. I got hurt about the time you were probably 13. I used to race with your dad.
Yeah,
and you were, I think you were racing quarter midgets about that time. And your dad and I used to race together. We had some good nights, and we probably had some bad nights. Was this just something that was automatic for you? I mean, this is just something you did it because of him, or what got you interested in racing?
Well, actually, my dad was at the racetrack racing one night at Orlando SeaWorld, and Mark Martin had brought him a quarter midget by and wanted me to start racing. So I got into that, and then my dad's like, well, I started winning races, and he's like, well, he kept just moving me up, and that's where I am now.
Well, obviously, there's a huge difference between running a quarter midget and running a late model, full body stock appearing car. How tall are you?
5'5".
Well, okay, I guess you don't maybe look 5'5 to me, but okay, 5'5". So pretty short, looking over a long nose on a big race car that weighs about, what we got to weigh, 2950?
Yeah.
Right? So that means that we've got to put about 2,800 pounds, 2,850 pounds in that race car to accommodate you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And be strong enough to wheel it around that racetrack. I mean, it's not like driving a car to work on I-4. There's a lot of work involved.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do to stay to be in that kind of shape?
Actually, to me, a late model is easier to drive than a quarter midget, a van oil, a truck, anything. I think it drives like a Cadillac to me.
Okay.
Because last year I drove the trucks, and I think that was the most hardest thing I've ever driven. And I got in a late model, it seemed like easy.
Well, now you say it seems easy, I've driven everything, just about everything too. And I got to tell you, a good late model is easier to drive than most of anything else. But Saturday night, you went for a wild ride, and you got. You got one tore up race car, and which is good. Which is good that that's all it got tore up. So how do you feel today?
I'm bruised and everything like that. I wasn't expecting AJ to dump me like that, but it's part of racing.
Well, so you okay? Well, I'm going to try to do this politically correct. You weren't expecting AJ to dump you, so you feel pretty much like it was a deliberate move.
Well, he just hit me for a few laps.
I'm sorry. Your phone broke up, Jess. Hello. Hey, Jessica, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Give us a call back, or we're gonna try to get you back on the line. Okay. Well, what Jessica was referring to, I don't know what her opinion there was going to be, but... you know, it was a hard-fought race, no question about it. And that when you race in that Goodyear Late Model Challenge Series, positions are very, very difficult to come by. So they're fought for very hard. And 100 laps sounds like a lot, but really on a short track, it's not a lot. They go quick. They count the yellow flags. So and obviously you can't move up under the yellow flag. So the only way to move up is under the green flag. And positions are they're a struggle. And she and another car, the number two car, were doing a little bit of battle, and Jessica was actually moving around the number two, and I don't know whether he got loose, what happened, but he got into her and really got into her in the right rear, and sent Jessica. She almost caught the car, but sent her barreling into the wall, and. Is that Jessica back? Well, we're going to let Jessica tell us. Okay, you said you weren't expecting AJ to dump you like that, and I said so you felt like it was deliberate. That's where we left off.
Well, he was hitting me for two laps straight, and I was trying. And I didn't think I was running up on him or anything like that. And then the third lap coming around, he hit me pretty hard, and then that's when I lost it. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if I hit the wall first or someone behind me hit me. I don't. All I know is I went. Going towards the wall.
Well, you hit the wall first, and then the 11 car hits you real hard. And you know, I think as I was saying while we were trying to get you back, I mean those positions in that race are hard fought for, but certainly you know, judgment being what it is, you know, I think your dad and I said we some nights weren't all that good, but one of the things that your dad and I did, even though we were both, I would think most people would consider us both very aggressive. We raced each other the way we wanted to be raced. And,
yeah.
You know, I never deliberately dumped your dad, and I don't believe he ever deliberately dumped me. And although we both got dumped, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And there's a difference. So how bad's the car? I know it sounds like you're going to be all right. How bad's the car? Go ahead.
I know it's the front clip.
Yep.
And it actually moved the motor, and I'm not sure. We might have the rear clip. I'm not sure about that. We didn't really look at it. Everybody was mad, so we kind of just loaded it up and left.
We're going to get it all back together and come back, though, right?
I got my next race is the ASA race at New Smyrna. I'm not sure if we're going back to that or not.
Okay.
because the past three Goodyear race or fast car late models now, I've got dumped running third with only 10 laps to go.
We got 30 seconds. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to answer this question. Do you think it has anything to do with a girl passing a guy, or is it just racing?
That's what I've thought for the most longest time, but I'm not sure.
Well, I appreciate you being with us, Jessica. Will you come back and join us another time?
Yes, I will.
Okay, thanks for being there, and thanks for talking with us.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Well, that was Jessica Murphy. She drives a number 26 fast car late model. And we're going to be back here next Monday night to talk about all the things going on NASCAR and all the things going on local. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Good night.